Blog Talk Radio.
From Ajijic, Mexico, on the shores of beautiful Lake Chapala, it's Music Sin Fronteras. I'm your host, Patrick O'Heffernan. This is your show. Our guests are here to talk with you. So you can call in 917-889-3068. Now that's a USA number. So if you're in Mexico, don't forget to add the plus. Or if you want to, you can email us, musicscenefronterasmx@gmail.com. Well, I want to welcome all of our listeners on the CyberStationUSA.com network and their radio affiliates on the East Coast of the U.S., and the Artistic Echoes and Canalside Radio Network in the U.K., who will, of course, hear us tomorrow, as well as big hello to everybody on Blog Talk Radio. And again, if you have questions or comments for our guests, email us, musicscenefronterasmx@gmail.com, or call us, 917-889-3068. If you're listening to us on a podcast or in England, you can still email us. It works. Well, as always, remember, we are in Mexico, which is a joyfully musical and really noisy country. Okay. Our studios are downtown. Our soundproofing is pretty good. And of course, the whole place is on lockdown. But you may still hear the odd truck, and there have been police cars coming up and down the streets in downtown with loudspeakers telling people to stay inside and wear masks. So if you hear a police, if you hear some Spanish out there saying, go back inside and put your mask on, that's what's happening. Okay. Josh Norek, he's our guest today, and he got the idea of combining Latin alternative music with American Jewish culture back in 1996 while he was a sophomore at Cornell University. He dreamed of imaginary collaborations between popular rap and hip-hop acts of his era and Latino bands. Well, amazingly, those dreams came true, right? After working in Buenos Aires for Warner Music, he returned to Brooklyn. He teamed up with his friend Abraham Velez, a Puerto Rican Jewish writer and guitarist, and he convinced Federico Fong, who's the founding bassist for the multi-platinum rock band Yagares, to join them. And together they created Hip Hop Judios. The new band took off. They toured, they recorded, they landed songs in the top five of Apple's Latino music charts. And their latest project is Turn Back the Clock, which is kind of a fun throwback to an earlier age of hip hop, with a little psychedelica thrown in. The band is releasing the album after a 10-year absence from the studio, and we have the first song. But more important, we have Josh himself with us here today. Josh Norek, welcome to Music Sin Fronteras.
Thank you. Gracias. It's great to be joining you today.
It's great to have you and to hear a very high-energy, upbeat voice coming from New York. I guess you're in New York now, aren't you?
Actually, I've been in California now for about 10 years, but when we started Hip Hop Judios, we were indeed based in New York.
Oh, what part of California?
Up in the Bay Area.
Ah, which accounts for Nishin and the Mission. Okay.
Nishin and the Mission, yes, a very Bay Area-centric song.
It certainly is, and for my listeners who don't know, the Mission is in San Francisco, California. Well, Jewish, Arab, Latino, Colombia, Uruguay, Puerto Rico, and Brooklyn and San Francisco. That's about as Sin Fronteras as a band can get. Have you always been Sin Fronteras, inherently multicultural and borderless?
Yeah, I mean, I think with Hip Hop Judios, we were never about one particular ethnic group even or language. The idea with the group, as its name implies, is, you know, we are both dual Jewish and Latino identities, and we spell the name of our group, Judios. We spell it from the hood, H-O-O-D-I-O-S, so it's kind of a play on words instead of just being the traditional spelling of the word Jewish in Spanish. We have the little urban music reference. And the idea was to not be limited to any group or genre even. And so with Hip Hop Latinos, I mean, we mix Latin music, we mix Jewish music, we mix hip hop and rock. And yeah, we always from day one, you know, we played our own instruments as well, which probably was why we would get tagged as being signed to either like the Jewish Molotov or the Latino Beastie Boys, because those were some of our influences. We always liked hip hop with live instrumentation.
Well, I know at some point you were in Brooklyn, which is, of course, the birthplace of hip hop. While you were there and other places, did you and your friends and family also listen to Mexican music, you know, banda and frontera and mariachi, son jarocho, that kind of stuff?
I mean, I would say that probably growing up on the East Coast, myself and Abraham Velez were more initially, I think, exposed to salsa and Latin urban music, which at the time this was pre-reggaeton. So, you know, I think my first Latin concert was probably in my 12 or 13. I saw Tito Puente. So certainly I think for us it came natural to mix, like if you hear like one of our earliest songs, Havana Nagila, which is a play on the traditional Jewish song Hava and Hava Nagila, and mixing it with the reference to Havana, it was like a very salsa hip hop song. But certainly Mexican music influence started creeping in there as well. Having Federico Fong from Jaguares and Caifanes join our group early on, and certainly I was a big fan of Jaguares and Mexican rock in general at that time. And so that started creeping in. We had a song we did with Federico called Corrito Cosmico, where it was like we started mixing cumbia into our music too. So, you know, I think I would say it's pan-Latin in terms of the influences.
Okay, and I can hear that in the music too. And that's pretty good to start off with Tinto when you were 12 years old. Well, tell us about the new project, Turn Back the Clock. I understand that Santi Mostafa and the Mexican Institute of Sound are involved. So,
yeah, it's a really fun song. Has a real 80s or late 80s, early 90s hip-hop throwback sound, which is very intentional. I certainly, in my youth, grew up watching a lot of Yo! MTV Raps, and I consider myself fortunate to have come up during hip-hop's golden age. You know, when I listen to hip-hop today, a lot of it's very minimalist. You know, it's those kind of trap beats. There's no bass line. There's no melody. I always loved hip-hop that sampled jazz and funk. And so this song was kind of a throwback homage to that era. And when it came to collaborations, you know, it's a real fun song. I'm friendly with Santi Mostafa, who's, I guess, Uruguay's most prominent hip-hop artist. And he happens to be of Arab descent. And so, you know, even more so, you know, we like to fly our freak flags. You know, we're not a religious hip hop Latinos. We identify more with the cultural aspect of being Jewish than more like the religious part. So, you know, when we connected with a Latino Arab rapper who's kind of similar to us, he's aware and in touch with his Arab heritage, but he's not particularly religious and he's a goofball like us. We're like, man, we got to do something together. So we did this song together, and we then realized we had by our standards, I guess, a potential hit on our hand. And my producer was like, you know, you need to get another artist on here who kind of understands your philosophy and your attitude about, you know, sense of humor. And we both looked at each other and we're like, Mexican Institute of Sound, which is a group led by Camilo Lara, truly one of the most interesting people, I think, in the music business. Camilo, like me, has a double life. You know, for myself, I've worked in the Latin music business since I was a teenager, and currently, I run a company called Regalias Digitales. We collect music royalties for over 1,000 Latin artists, including groups like Tigres del Norte and Tucanes de Tijuana. So Camilo, similarly, he's in Mexican Institute of Sound, which is Mexico's biggest electronic group, and he's also in a group called Mexrissi, which is famous for taking Morrissey songs from the Smiths and making mariachi versions. He's got like two other projects too. And then, but also by day, for many years, he was the president of the record label EMI in Mexico, you know, managing everything from the Beatles back catalog to Selena. And, you know, when we used to joke, it would be fun to do a tour with Mexican Institute of Sound because he could be on stage checking his emails behind me. And then when he performed, I could check my emails. It's like a running joke. But finally, we had a chance to collaborate. So it was, he understands our philosophy, and it wound up being a real fun music video to do with them, too.
It was. It's a great music video. And I have seen the Mexican Institute of Sound live, and they are indeed goofballs, but really good ones.
Yes.
And that's a great story. That's very. I love it. I didn't realize that he ended up the company. Well, we should do a little music. So I want to give our audience a taste of what we're talking about. So I'm going to play a little of Turn Back the Clock. Here it is.
Like Home Alone, knock off imitators with sax and trombone, burning up the planet like Trump and ozone. I'm a Jew boy standing in a Slavic stance, to get paid to dance, to give you cheap romance, taking you there, making you stare, from death row to skid row on a one-legged chair. Bife de lomo, pastilla de Viagra, tengo más fuerza que cascadas Niagara. Ponte listo, asemblan los judíos en las calles, mira para arriba, mira para las valles, ahora me ves, hasta las tres, de donde crees que gafilte es mi pez. Rapping Jews don't wear face tattoos. Post Malone, PJ Way trash buffoon. Get the party started, turn back the clock. Get the party started, turn back the clock.
Well, I am practically dancing here in the studio. That song is so much fun, and it's also great dance music. Of course, it's Latino, so it would be. And I hear the Latino in it, but I can't find any Jewish musical influence. Am I just missing it?
On that particular song, you're probably right. It wasn't overtly. I mean, there was a lyric reference, though, that says, I'm a Jew boy standing in my Slavic stance. I get paid to dance. I give you cheap romance. But it was probably more the Jewish sense of humor coming through on that song, whereas other songs have been more overt where we've sampled klezmer or, you know, things like that. But yeah, the song was more about the sense of humor, I suppose.
Yeah, I got the line, so I kept looking for the clarinet, right? I love the video, incidentally. People should really, after the show, they should go look at the video. I especially like the little skeleton guy dancing in the barn. But
yes, that's my 7-year-old son. He was a very willing participant.
I had a feeling that there was a relationship there. Why a farm? What do cows and goats and horses have to do with your music?
Yeah, so it's funny. I grew up in a small town outside of Albany, New York, a town no one's ever heard of called Slingerland. And my best friend growing up, family has one of the last working dairy farms in this town. And, you know, whenever I'm back home, I go back to visit. I spent a lot of time on that farm. And so I was just thinking, because, you know, with hip-hop videos, we love breaking stereotypes. I'm like, what's the least hip-hop thing I could possibly do? I think it would be rapping in a dairy farm. And so for my verse, yeah, I don't mean to use offensive words here, but I got shat on a number of times by the cows when we were shooting my part in the barn. But it was a great experience. So, you know, I'm rapping surrounded by cattle. Santi's part, you know, is in Montevideo, Uruguay, and then Mexican Institute of Sound, we animated. It's just a really quirky, fun, out there video. And by our standards, it's probably, you know, it is our most successful. It's very strange because we kind of went into retirement in 2009 pre-YouTube era. We used to have videos that would get on MTV Latino all the time, but we never had a video in the YouTube era. So our most popular song, Ocho Candelicas, probably took 10 years to get to 100,000 views. And with the new video, we cracked 100,000 views in our first week. So I think it's just, you know, it's a strange time to be releasing new music, but since people are in quarantine, they probably have a little more free time to watch videos right now.
And it's a great video. I'm sure there was a lot of word of mouth involved in that one. Also, I think there's something else going on, and you would know better than I because you probably look at the data. Your lyrics very smoothly switch between English and Spanish, and I wonder, you know, you're doing some crossover here and you're actually pulling in two audiences.
Yeah, we've always had that going. In fact, we've probably always had three audiences. You know, when we started, we kind of expected actually – that we would have more Jewish fans than Latin fans. And it's always been the other way around. We've always had way more Latino fans than Jewish fans. I mean, part of that is probably just demographics. I think Jewish community is probably 2% of the United States population versus Latinos being 20, 25%. but I think Latinos always also just understood the music better. And we've just had that. We've always had a lot of listeners in places like Mexico and Argentina and Spain. And then we have like the Jewish hipster fans who don't speak Spanish, but just love that we are open about being Jewish, but like are accepted by as a Latin hip hop group. But then, you know, there were times that were weird for us. Our most popular market back in the day was France. They played a lot of our music on Radio Nova in Paris, and we've done sold out concerts in Paris, which was probably for an audience that was neither Latino nor Jewish. So, you know, we're here to offend everyone and make them laugh, basically.
Well, you're making me laugh. Do you ever throw any Hebrew into your lyrics?
Yeah, I learned one song phonetically. Like, I can read Hebrew, but I don't know what I'm saying. So I had to like have a friend help me and learn it phonetically. And even with French, when we would go to France, it was at the height of the Iraq War. It was very anti-American attitude. Then
yeah.
My promoter told me, he's like, you need to come on stage and speak French. Even if you just come out and speak a little bit of French, they'll love you. And so I learned some French. You know, it was a lot of fun for us.
I'll say, and a little nerve-wracking too, I imagine, coming out and greeting a large audience in a language that you don't speak.
Yeah, bonsoir Paris. You know, that was always my attitude.
You know, speaking of lyrics, you could be pretty political, and I want to play a song that you produced for Amnesty International that really does get down and gets political. Viva la Guantanamera. Here it comes.
Yes.
Otra vez in tu face,
asking, what is this place?
A black hole by the bay, donde tus derechos
slip, slip, slip away.
And so we gotta say,
oh,
is the enemy combatant? Imanime vaca Manhattan, hurling verbal pickles on pillows of satin.
I'm not a garbage man, but we pick up the trash, they call me Speedy J, cause I win the 100 meter dash. Clap my hands when I feel alright, but I turned around, where's the Bill of Rights? What can Chris say? From a withered root, you'll try to entender, but it don't compute.
What are the fruits of orange jumpsuits? And if old habeas corpus gets the boot, if the dame is also motley asking who's to blame, cause the camino a justicia sure ain't paved with shame.
President, is this really us? I'm with the brave in the land of the unjust. We the people, you the government, we can't trust. So I strangled the microphone and kicked us. Now you label us by another name, an attempt to indefinitely detain. With no trial at all, your little war game. It's un-American not to let us clear name. The Bill of Rights, man, you done but you did. The founding fathers turning over in the grave. I'm just an ordinary
man with a plan. Well, first of all, let me just say that that's brilliant rapping. And the story you tell is really nicely crafted. You touch all the bases, and you do it in a musical framework that is really sharp. So what led to that song, and who actually wrote it? Did you write it?
I co-wrote it along with Abraham Velez, my colleague in Hip Hop Videos, and Kimo the Blaxican, who's an MC, also a very famous MC from the group Delinquent Habits, one of the pioneering Latin hip hop groups of the 90s. And at that time, you know, we were feeling a lot of anger towards the Bush administration and the unjustified invasion of Iraq. I personally had lost two high school classmates in Iraq and had a lot of anger, and kind of music for me has always been where, you know, it's kind of a coping mechanism, if you will. And at that time, it just felt like kind of a necessary song to do. And, you know, we, even though humor is a big part of what we do, and even the lyrics in that song can be interpreted as being humorous, you know, it was a song about shutting down Guantanamo Bay prison and having due process. You know, those almost feel like quaint days compared to what we're living with Trump right now. And so we're actually doing a new song that's very political that will be released before the election. We kind of felt like being Jewish and political and Latin. Stephen Miller, the architect of Trump's immigration policies, which have been very devastating for the Latino community. You know, one of the things that was always disturbing to us was that Stephen Miller grew up in a secular liberal Jewish household in Santa Monica, California, and how this guy became this conservative anti-immigrant person, like I think his own family has disowned him. So we had this idea for a song where basically one day Stephen Miller wakes up and he's Mexican. It's like overnight he's Mexican, and it's the song called Mexican Miller. He's, instead of being a self-hating Jew, he's a self-hating Mexican in this song. And it's a song that's a work in progress, but we hope to have it out in September.
I'm looking forward to that. I want to remind our audience that we're talking with Josh Norak of Hip Hop Judios, and you can talk with him too. You can call in or you can email, and some of you are already emailing. So let's look at some of the emails we're getting here. Michael Ross in Los Angeles. Michael wants to know, do you ever connect with the L.A. rap and Latin alternative scene? It's really big down here, and I can see you collaborating with bands like Chicano Batman or Las Capeteras.
Man, that's so cool, and thank you, Mike Ross, for that question. I'm a huge fan of Chicano Batman. In fact, they're one of my clients in my royalty collection business. I lived in L.A. for 8 years, and I'm certainly pretty involved in the scene in some ways. I co-host a radio show called The Latin Alternative that airs on KCSN in L.A. When we lived in L.A., we were very involved. In fact, that song that we played, Viva La Guantanamera, it was co-produced by Will Dogg from Bozo Motley, the bass player. And so that was one of these only in L.A. experiences for me. It was very strange and probably fortuitous. I was at a falafel stand or something, and there was like the free weekly Jewish newspaper, and I picked it up just because I was waiting for my falafel, and there was an article about Will Dogg from Ozo Motley, and it says Will Dogg connects with his Jewish roots. I guess it turned out he's half Jewish and started kind of reconnecting later in life with it. And in the interview I'm reading with him, it says he's a big fan of Hip Hop Judios. I'm like, what? We've never even met Ozo Motley. Like, he's a fan of our group? How is that possible? And 2 days later, I happened to be at a concert. The Mexican band Kinky was doing a free show, the audience, and 2 feet away from me is Will Dogg. He doesn't even know me. I just introduced myself, and I said, wow, we're very honored that you said in this article that you liked us. And he just goes, I'm producing your next song. So, you know, in the sense that we've had involvement with Ozo Motley, that would never have happened if I had not run into him at an L.A. concert.
Only in L.A. That's a great story. I ran into them years ago when I was working with Rainforest Action Network, and we put on an annual bash called Revel in the Rainforest, and they were the band, and I had to manipulate them to make sure that they all showed up and played at the right place at the right time, which is not always easy, as you well know.
Not with 8 people in that band, no.
No, but it all worked. We had a great time. Maria Maria in Miami, I like that, Maria Maria in Miami, wants to know, where are the Cubans? I hear horns. Do you have congas and cubanos? Do they ever play with you?
Or cubanos, we sometimes call them. I want to say the biggest Cuban influence for us, like I mentioned, the song we have called Havana Nagila, where we took Hava Nagila, the traditional Jewish song, and merged it with salsa music from Cuba. Our original producer, Jason Porras, is not Cuban. His uncle, however, was a producer for Tico Records, this legendary salsa label in the 60s. And his uncle did produce Cuban salsa. And we wound up sampling a Cuban salsa version of Hava Nagila. So I don't recall us working with Cuban musicians live. We've had a number of Mexican, Colombian, Argentinian musicians play with us, but that does need to go on the to-do list.
Okay. Hear that? Maria Maria in Miami. It's on the to-do list. Thank you for bringing it up. Silky One in Guadalajara, one of my neighbors here, and it's in Spanish. Hay una gran escena post-rock en México con bandas como Polaroid Dreams. Combinar estilos puede ser bueno. Colaboración remota? Should I translate that?
No, yo hablo español. Nos encantaría colaborar con más artistas mexicanas. Yo soy super fan de muchos artistas de México. Para mí, Control Machete y Molotov eran influencias gigantes, porque, bueno, yo crecía en Estados Unidos, pero siempre escuchaba rap latino, y para mí lo que hacían grupos como Molotov y Control Machete en los años 90 fue una influencia. Yo sigo escuchando mucha música mexicana. La verdad, lo que me interesa mucho sería colaborar con un artista de regional mexicana algún día. Porque esto sería un género que probablemente nunca ha tenido un artista judío colaborando con norteño o algo así. Entonces, esto sería mi fantasía, pero conocemos muchos músicos mexicanos. Hemos trabajado con Federico Fong de Caifanes, era miembro de nuestra banda, y también hemos tocado con miembros de Los Abandoned, muchos artistas de rock mexicano, pero me fascina la escena, bueno, las varias escenas que existen ahí. Hay un montón de música con 100 millones de personas, seguramente hay 1 millón de bandas ahí.
Well, I hate to do this to you, but most of our listeners, I think, are English speakers, so we probably should.
I can go back to English.
Let me translate the question. And the question was, yeah, there's a great post-rock scene in Mexico with bands like Polar Dreams. Can you combine the styles? I think combining the styles would be great. Or can you collaborate remotely? So what would you answer?
Yeah, no, and remote collaboration is something that I think all of us are going to be having to do more of. I mean, certainly the new song Turn Back the Clock, where we collaborated with Mexico's biggest electronic act, Mexican Institute of Sound, I mean, that was done remotely. It was a case of the song being basically finished, and we shared it with Camilo Lara on the off chance he would want to do something. We didn't think he would actually say yes, but 5 minutes later, he's like, yes, I want to be on this. So, yeah, thinking about who is going to be on, like, the next song we do, Mexican Miller, it may very well be a Mexican hip-hop artist, but I certainly have some fantasies of collaborating with regional Mexican artists, maybe even doing the first Judio Norteño song.
Okay. All right. The band that they mentioned there, Polar Dreams, I've actually seen in Guadalajara at the C2 upstairs, and they're really something. Anyway, we've got time for one more song, and one of your songs. And for this one, I want to kind of reach back a ways to Ocho Candelicas, which is eight candles in English. And here it is.
Ocho Candelicas, Candelicas, dos Candelicas, Candelicas, seis Candelicas, Candelicas.
Hanukkah song. do you play that when you light the candles?
It has played in the background a number of times. That song for us was very strange because it wound up being, at least in its time, our biggest hit. It wound up in heavy rotation on MTV Español, and got us a lot of attention, probably because we had girls in bagel bras in the video. We made that video for like $500 and it kind of put us on the map, but it's a real song. Ocho Candelicas is a traditional song from Spain. It was a song from the Sephardic Jewish community. I knew it because my father sang it like in the temple choir when I was a kid. And I think in my teens, I just remember thinking this would be a really fun song to redo in kind of like a punk hip hop style. And so probably also at that time, I was listening to a lot of the Mexican rap rock group Molotov. They were definitely an influence on me at the time we redid Ocho Candelicas.
Okay. Well, it's a great song. I really love what you did with it. I hope all my Jewish relatives in the United States are listening, and maybe they'll play it at Hanukkah next time ourselves. We're almost out of time, but I want to get to the album itself. Now, you've released two singles, Turn Back the Clock and Nishing in the Mission.
Condition in the Mission, yeah.
Do you have a date for the full album?
I'm trying not to give ourselves hard deadlines. We are planning to put out this next single, Mexican Miller, probably in September, timed before the elections, and then probably do another song or two so we have an EP. The kind of the feeling, we did a reunion show last year at San Francisco Carnival, which was great. We hadn't played live in 10 years. But right now at this point in my life with two young children and being a single dad, my focus is like making new music and videos, but not necessarily being out there touring.
Yeah, touring can be rough if you have a family. Do you have any live streams coming up?
It's something we've been debating. I certainly thought about doing it. It's maybe something with Santi Mostafa in particular, since we kind of share a close friendship and figure it could be, from a media standpoint, people would probably get a kick out of seeing Latino-Arab, Latino-Jewish rappers together again.
I think so, and I know a lot of people who are live streaming. I'm writing reviews of live streams now, and it's a different art form than live performance, and it's
absolutely
much more intimate. It's much more interactive, and it does something that you can't do on stage. You might look into it. Anyway, what's the best way for people to keep in touch with you?
Yeah, we definitely encourage them to follow us. Our handles on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram are all the same. It's just at Hip Hop Judios. Again, that's spelled with an Houdios. And we'd be happy to have them follow us and share more of our musical mayhem with them. And, we really appreciate shows like yours, where I think they cater to both a Latino and Anglo audience. And just it's about sharing great music.
No, we try. Okay, we try. And with people like you to make good music, it's very easy. Josh, thank you so much for taking the time to join us today. I know you're a busy guy. And also, thanks for all the fun that you brought us with your music. We really appreciate it.
Thank you. Gracias.
You've been listening to Music Sin Fronteras with Patrick O'Heffernan. That's me from the CyberStation USA Network, the Blog Talk Radio Network, and our radio affiliates. Like our Facebook page, follow our Twitter feeds, and you'll get real-time updates on our guests. Our producers are Lars Christensen. Our program director is Jason Bartleben. You can download this and all our other Music Sin Fronteras programs at blogtalkradio.com or on iTunes. We're on iTunes. Tune in next week. We're going to be talking with an artist from Spain, and that's all I'm going to say right now, but you're going to be surprised. So check our Twitter stream and our Facebook page, and we will update you. In the meantime, have a great musical weekend. Tener un gran fin de semana a musical. And here's a little bit more of this great music you've been hearing today.
Coming at you otra vez, in tu face,
asking, what is this place?
A black hole by the bay, donde tus derechos.